I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Buzz it up! Buzz, 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 buzz.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
I don't know you, but I feel like I'm in love.
I know. Yeah. Doing a track right now.
What is that?
What's going on, everybody?
Y'all? We have a lot of fun with our theme songs here at AfterBuzz.
Got to.
We just love being the ESPN of TV talk, as our founder, Maria Menounos, just told you. Yeah. But if you are tuning in for the first time, welcome. This is the Love is Blind After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of visual, you guys have to tune in to us on YouTube so you can have fun with us here in the booth. Yeah.
Yeah.
My name is Christine Alexis, but I am not alone. I have two of the best in the biz joining me tonight.
It's true.
I have Mike Thieling.
What's up, everybody? Let's make some poor life decisions.
What a great start. And wow. Of course, the lovely flow of voice.
Thank you so much for keeping me around, guys. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I won't get rid of you guys. This is a lifelong commitment.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at the very least, a 16-episode long commitment.
Yeah. Or less, yeah.
Or less, well, you know, whatever Netflix is going to give us.
True.
Whatever the producers say.
Whatever they do. Or however long these couples last, since we are now in full swing, guys.
Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Full swing.
This is week 3 in the realm of the show. And we're now outside of the pods. We've graduated. We've elevated from
Rory.
Yeah.
Sorry, LT. Or what?
LC.
What was her name? LC.
Yeah.
We had some randos who got lost along the way, but we're now at the stage where the couples are together.
Why didn't they just let those two give it a shot? I feel like those two should have gotten to go to Mexico and like co-host with Nick Lachey or something like that. They should have gotten to go to Mexico, go on vacation, maybe date each other and see if something would work. Why did they just get tossed off the show?
Like a loser bracket?
Yeah, something. Who knows? Maybe they needed to sub in for somebody at some point. You don't know.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah, we were of the impression covering the first two episodes that maybe we would get more from these kind of random contestants who were highlighted here and there, but never really got anything from them.
Rory didn't even get a storyline. At least LC got to kind of like Barnett.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Poor one out for LC, man. I felt her. I felt like I was the LC in so many relationships. Being like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah, but but if you're Rory, you took time off of work, away from your family, to live in this little pod, and you got like 10 minutes of airtime talking, like consoling another contestant.
Well, it totally beats getting dunked on in LC's case. I'd rather have that happen.
I guess. But she put herself out there. She doesn't look bad.
True. So I'll see if you're around. Let me know.
Unfortunately, they won't get more than like 2 minutes of airtime on our show.
That's right.
Because they are not what we're focusing on tonight.
We've given them more airtime than the show did.
We did.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, kicking off week 3, we kind of wrapped everything up in terms of where the social experiment started in the pods. We are just down to our last few reveal/proposals. And we start off with a cliffhanger between Damian and Giannina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, last week, I was definitely, or last episode, rather, I was very pessimistic about how this would turn out. I was convinced that Giannina would shock us all and be the first person to just walk away from this experiment, you know, just say, hey, it's not for me. But she surprised us.
She was like, nah, I want to go to Mexico. Let's rock.
She didn't make it as dramatic as possible, though. Yes. She was going the whole turn around, oh no, and turn back around. I was like, okay.
Yes.
Where'd you work for it?
Her counter proposal was a very romanticized thing, I think she found in her head, and it was cute.
Yeah.
Oh, you liked it?
Yeah, it was cute. Come on.
I would say this. As a guy, you want to be like, it would be pretty cool if a girl proposed to me, but I would freak out. I'd be like, yo, get up. Let me try. Let me try this. This is kind of weird.
I agree with you, but not the way she did it, because she did right after he did.
Okay.
So I see, like, I get you. We're equals. I don't know. I thought it was a cute sentiment.
Well, in that case, yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I think the caveat there, it's like it's after he did
versus doing
it first.
Right.
Yeah. I know there was a clip that actually went viral on the internet the other day of this woman proposing to her man at a sporting event, and people were, like, losing their minds because she did it first, but people didn't realize she already had her ring on her finger. They just didn't notice in the video. So it was, like, her giving him that moment after the fact.
Yeah.
But it brought up an interesting conversation. I love that the show kind of brought it up, too.
Which you should never propose to anybody at a sporting event. That's not romantic at all.
I have to agree.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
I don't know if I want that.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, especially if like you're there for a certain team and then your team loses. It's like,
well, we got this.
We better be sure.
Better be sure. Well, Giannina is sure about Damien, so they're engaged at this point. Mm-hmm. And then we really get into the thick of it with Barnett. This is where it's down to the wire.
The last two contestants.
Yeah, Elsie's out at this point. So it's between Jessica and Amber.
Yeah. I guess it's the right girl. The ones we all thought he was more going to go with, actually went with. Again, I just feel like Elsie and I had this connection, man. And I felt like I've been there, been on the side. And Elsie, you're still single? My number is... No, I'm just kidding. But I think they're perfect for each other. Because Amber looked like she liked, what's his name? And he liked her back, so...
Yeah, I feel like Elsie didn't have a real shot.
Yeah, I think everything with Barnett played out exactly how he thought it would.
Yep.
Between our predictions.
They seemed, for what it's worth, the two of them seemed really, really happy on the reveal, so that's cool.
Yeah, I guess we could just get right into the reveals, because after that point when Barnett basically breaks things off with Elsie, it just goes straight into reveal after reveal after reveal, starting with Giannina and Damien, who we have discussed. Did anyone else find her reaction kind of weird? When the doors opened, yeah, Giannina, she turned around, laughed, kind of like doubled over for a second, and then ran with such vigor into his arms after. It just felt so fake.
I think it was just a lot of, I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt on that one. I think it was just nerves, and she was just like kind of excited and did the like, oh my gosh, he's not a troll. You know,
My totally manufactured backstory, which has no bearing on anything. It's like, well, maybe she was on the show because people thought that she wouldn't get a guy of a certain caliber, and she hit the jackpot, and she was in disbelief. Maybe.
I'm going to counter that with just my personal thoughts that I don't know that Damien is the jackpot just yet.
What do you mean?
But
do you think he's pretty average? Oof.
He's average.
Hot take.
Oh, hot take. Hot take.
He's average.
Christine Alexis.
As a female voice on this panel.
Which means you're right.
I'm going to just, you know, say what it is.
Okay.
All right.
But again.
Don't be average, guys.
Yeah. Don't be average. Something interesting that I wrote down as well during her interview on the side during this reveal, she kind of hinted that Damien isn't the type of guy that she would normally go for.
Right.
Yes.
So I don't think that I'm far off in kind of not feeling the attraction for him or not really seeing it between them.
Again, either. This is a good thing. They're all on the show for a reason. They are unlucky at love. They should give different things a shot.
435.
That is a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you. Yeah. You are a wise sage, good man.
One.
Again, going back to Barnett and Amber, just because in chronological order, they were the next reveal. What did you guys think about the chemistry between Barnett and Amber as soon as they met each other?
This is going to sound so bad. It has a very, junior year in college vibe. It's cool. They're physically attractive. They are, quote, unquote, hot. But I am a little bit concerned about long-term prospects. Right?
I couldn't agree more. Yep, I think it's dead. There's definitely... I mean, look, I think he has a kind of classical, attractive guy kind of physique and look to him. She's a beautiful woman. There's definitely... We talk about this at Married at First Sight a lot, too. There is a lust, and we talk about it on Bachelor a lot, too.
Oh, yeah.
We are lusting for Victoria F., right? Mm-hmm. But does Peter actually like her? I think there's definitely some lust and immediate physical attraction, but we have to see when they actually get together and start going down, you know, living together and actually truly interacting instead of this the weird pod people style stuff.
Yeah. I know we mentioned it a lot on our last recap that Amber and Barnett, like, on paper, and I guess just at first glance, they look like, okay, these two people go together.
Yeah.
But, again, will it last? Is the longevity there? Are they going to be as agreeable when it gets down to the nitty-gritty stuff?
Sure.
Not just the, like, oh, we both like, you know, sports, and we like to laugh. And, once that, like, fun time wears off.
And you're cute, and you're hot. Yeah.
You know, can their love survive? Especially because she seemed to lead a lot with her commentary of, like, how hot he was.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
Which, I'm not going to blame her. Like, okay, he's a good-looking guy.
Sorry, Damien.
But, yeah, sorry, Damien. But, you know, we didn't get a lot of the, like, I can see him being my husband. Like, I see myself starting a family with him kind of talk. It was just like, damn, like, I'm hot. Like, I think I wrote down, like, Amber is shook. She was absolutely shook. Yeah. She was so shook. Yeah. But, you know, physical chemistry is not a bad thing.
Yeah,
some couples didn't have it.
Correct.
That is definitely true.
Just wrapping up the reveals, Jessica and Mark finally meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to get married, even though, you know, Mark was second choice.
So let's talk about this for a second, because I guess maybe I had the wrong perspective, but I thought Mark was incredibly short compared to Jessica. And when it came out, he was actually taller, and I guess it didn't matter, but then as they went on to the other scene in Mexico, she was kind of had reservations.
I I want to say Mark is probably at worst average. I really felt like it was played up. I mean, I'm 5'10". I am by no means tall.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's probably around my height. This is not, you know, some guy who's 4'11" and is going through this in his life as a problem. I think he's pretty average, to be honest.
But the editing did make it look and seem like he was so much smaller.
But no.
Almost like he was being like feisty in his attitude to make up for it. Like this, like I almost thought he had a Napoleon complex.
You know, they shoot him from up top. Yeah. That's actually, it's interesting you bring that up. Let us dispel a myth right here.
Myth dispelling.
Do it.
In his time, Napoleon was average height. Only now do we consider him short because of how much taller we are in general now. But in his days, he was average.
But I don't think people were throwing around that phrase in his day.
I just want everybody to know that. I'm Mike Feeling Complex.
If someone says you have a Napoleon complex, it means you are completely average height.
That's true.
Ding. The more you know. Yeah, it's funny. You brought up a really good point, Flobo, though, because initially, before they met, again, in her interviews on the side, I wrote it down. I'm like, man, this was timely. They included this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She went on about how she doesn't care what her man will look like.
Right.
And I'm like, man, is this going to hold up?
Yeah.
Sure enough, later on, it becomes a source of just something to make her pause about.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question, though? Yeah. As a sole female, a member on the panel, have you had a situation where you found someone that was perfect personality, all that stuff, but you're just sitting there debating, like, but he's kind of average, though. Not what I'm looking at. Like, that's the only, like, last barrier
you're
to anything.
You're setting Christine up to look super shallow right now.
I have a follow-up question. No. But I'm saying, have you been in that boat?
Yeah.
Okay, so is it wrong that she has that kind of like vibe that she has to double check and look? I think that we all have that in our human nature, that we want that physical attraction, and before sex is involved, you have to look the part. Why not?
I think it's like, for her, I think she needs to grow more comfortable with him, like you're saying. And
she threw it right off herself real quick.
Yeah. Well, I'll bring it back on myself and say, people definitely become more attractive once you get to know them inside and
out. True for
like,
everybody.
It's true for everybody. Like, I'm sure, you know, I don't know that anyone checks off every single box that you have physically for the person you're looking for. There may be one or two things like, hey, I grew up thinking I might like blondes, but you know what? My wife's a brunette and she's beautiful. She has X, Y, and Z, whatever the case is. I don't think you should be so hard and fast on that, but
sure, I agree.
I think you do need to allow a little space for the physical to develop if it's not there right away. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, what are you doing?
I have no idea. I just
it all depends on the situation, right? Because a lot of times, and I think that's why a lot of people have trouble in love sometimes, because let's say you're out at a bar or whatever, you meet somebody random. If you don't have the immediate physical attraction, especially in our day and age, everything is so fast. We have no attention spans.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the immediate physical attraction, maybe you don't give the person enough of a chance to actually find out about their personality and to grow into that.
But they took that choice away with this show.
They sure did. So you immediately are growing that emotional attraction, which definitely makes people, you know, more physically attractive as well.
Yeah. I think maybe, again, with the premise of the show, having that emotional connection first is supposed to set you up that it won't matter when you see each other. But, like, I actually kind of respect this reaction because I'm like, nah, this is kind of real. Because even if you got set up on a blind date, you're going to kind of pause to take it in.
Yeah. To be fair as well with this show, they picked an overall pretty good-looking crop of people.
They did.
So, indeed, the emotional connection is there to help get past whatever kind of physical, but these people would probably all be talking to each other if they saw each other first before even speaking to each other.
True.
So I don't know how much the actual experiment works in that circumstance, because you didn't have anybody come out. Her reaction was probably the most, right? But Mark is still a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's super disappointed or anything. You didn't have anybody come out really like, They're all, like, beyond excited for the physical appearance of their mate.
Yeah.
Mate.
I also wonder if, I mean, and this is, it's going to sound really ageist, if that's a
word.
Here
we go.
But look because, you know, Jessica is the older of the woman of the
grandma.
Group.
Grandma.
She's 34,
maybe,
guys.
34.
I'm just saying it's like, oh.
She's a grandma for this show. You are not a grandma in real life, girl.
I mean, she just put her in a home or something. She doesn't deserve to date.
They did not.
When was the last time she was intimate? Maybe she just has some reservations about that. And it's less about his
She
looks.
Obviously should have been counting the days.
Because, like, I'm wondering,
My man Damien was not getting the point.
I wonder if she would have had that reaction with Barnett. Like, would she have been...
That's a great point.
You know, like, yeah, as reserved. Like,
hold up, bro, in your, like, sexual pose, leg up, like, ready to go on the bed. Oh, I think we should take this slowly.
Absolutely, that's all physical. Because, I mean, look, they put her up as this matronly thing. Her wedding dress looked a certain way. Her makeup was a certain way. Mm. And now she's the one with the reservations. And poor Mark's sitting there going with his guitar in the background going, throw their pose out, like, what's up, fam?
You that's know? A like, really good point. Would she have acted that way with Barnett, who... is definitionally her type.
Right.
That's but also younger than her, too. Yeah.
It's going to be exciting when they all meet each other. When all the women meet, you know, when they see the other possibilities they had.
Yes.
Wow.
That is a great point. But before we get into all the possibilities that everyone can have, I wanted to take this time to thank you guys for tuning into our after show, for supporting us. Whether you're joining us on YouTube or on iTunes, give us a thumbs up, a 5-star rating. Continue to show us the love because we love producing this content for you. And yeah, we love being the ESPN of TV Talk. All right.
Ding.
Yeah.
J-Lo, you gotta get the dings going.
Yeah, yes. Man. We love AfterBuzz. We gotta ding it up.
It's like, here's your ding.
That's right.
Well, that's a good
ding
segue.
Over everything I say now.
Right? My ding. Well, now the show has transitioned. We finally see our hosts again, as we expected, that we would see them when things got a little more serious.
I forgot we had hosts.
Shout out to Nick Lachey, man. What's up?
Sure, what's
Nick
up?
Nick Lachey and his wife, Vanessa, they come back to kind of move us along, transition from one part of the show to the next. We are now at a romantic island resort. I'm assuming Mexico, since they name dropped it a couple times. Yep. Mexico.
Mexico Island.
So not an island.
Not an island. Sorry, guys.
Beautiful resort. We are out of the pods and into the jacuzzis.
Yeah, finally. I mean, this is what people leave their jobs for, right? You want everything.
Exactly. Rory.
Rory. You brought up a good point earlier that this part of the show is... the point where now the couples can see each other. They haven't interacted yet during this episode, but we know that it's coming. Mm. And I think it's really going to turn the show up a notch because, I mean, it seems like the premise is for these people to work out their differences, but there is the possibility that they can call off the engagement and maybe try to go back to any previous connections. Like, do we see that happening at all?
Mm. Oh, you mean like remixing?
Can they? It's an even number.
That's a great question. There's definitely the opportunity for them to call off the engagement versus like Married at First Sight, where you're married. Now you're either going to get divorced or not. I guess they can just not go through with it. It would have to match up perfectly, right? Like if I like you, you would have to also be having a falling out with that guy so that we could then get together. I think that's going to be really tough.
Yeah, that kind of defeats the purpose of First Sight. It should be like linear, either yes or no.
But it'd be amazing if it did. That'd be good TV. Netflix is hoping it happens, right?
I know. I'm just wondering.
Challenge.
Yeah, like, are we going to narrow it down any further than these couples that we already have?
True. That's a good question, really.
I think... the couples as they are going to stay, and either they're going to get married or they're going to break apart.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to have a reshuffle.
I want to definitely talk a little bit about Lauren and Cameron real quick because they seem to still be going strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
They, you know, at the resort, they seem to be on the same page about exploring their physical connection with each other.
Yeah. A little bit awkward, but there's a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of awkwardness in the hotel room for them. As opposed to like Gina, but the two of them, you always got to remember with these shows, there's a whole camera crew and like there's like a cameraman, a sound guy, a production assistant, a producer standing in your hotel room with you while you're in your robe with your brand new fiance. So it's obvious to be a little bit awkward, but they seem on the same page in general.
Hot racial take here. Is it a double standard that it's not considered fetishization on Lauren's end? Because she's like, oh, I've never been with a white man. She's like touching him like he's in a museum exhibit and like feeling his pink nipples and all that. I thought it was kind of weird if it was switched or if it was another race involved. They'd be like, whoa, why is he acting like that? To me, it was kind of interesting. I think they're most in love. It kind of looks like an Adam and Eve magazine ad, which is really, really good for them. And I hope it works out. But that to me was kind of like the, yeah.
That's a great point.
I mean, I don't know. Personally, I didn't take it that way. It just seemed like she was just stating a fact and like putting it out there. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, I think she was being very transparent and honest with everything she was saying. I don't think it had like another motive or anything, but I it will be interesting to see how viewers kind of attack this conversation.
I'm starting to pot, guys.
It's true because I know like if the roles were reversed, that would feel kind of icky. I think hearing that back, like, oh, she's beautiful for a black girl, or like, you know, things like that.
This is my first black girl.
It can be very it can feel gross, yeah, to be honest.
Sure, sure.
So, but
just tossing a label and on that, yeah, making it, yeah, it makes it weird.
Yeah, but I think the thing that I respect about how they're going about it is, I think, again, Lauren's being just kind of honest. It's almost like a little humorous the way she's attacking it, and he doesn't seem offended by it. I think that's the key point here. Very like well, he's like they're learning, yeah, through this experience together, because I don't think he said whether or not he's dated black girls before.
I don't think he did.
Yeah.
And so, of course, he's not going to be offended because her literal, you know, line of statements was, this is the first white guy I've ever dated. Wow, he's really hot, and I want to jump his bar. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, well, I'll take that. That's sounded right? Pretty positive.
Number one, yeah, with the,
yeah, that's okay, pretty positive. Great, great point. So Lauren and Cameron seem pretty solid. Kelly and Kenny also elect to take things slowly on their relationship.
Still don't really know anything about them. They're really getting an odd edit in this show. We see very little besides his weird shoulder thing. Like, if you're watching at home and you are single, this is not solid game, I would say. The shoulder counting game. Don't do
what
that.
What is solid game, Mike?
That's really weird thing to do. She was confused by it. Don't do that.
It was bad.
They're really kind of skipping over their story. We don't know much about them except it's a lot more telling than seeing. She says their connections are there. We haven't really seen them interact. We didn't get to see them talk in the pods, really. We didn't get to see them really talk outside, so they're kind of a mystery still.
Yeah, it does seem kind of like last episode we were saying, oh, kind of generic, kind of the vanilla couple, and that hasn't changed a bit. I mean, props in their fashion choices, that's pretty fun, but nothing to write home about.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it, actually. Nothing to write home about, nothing to spend more time than we already have on. I want to move on and talk about Giannina again. Giannina.
Wow.
And Damien, because their initial conversation and dinner scene at the resort, I found very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Giannina was saying a lot of things that made me seem like maybe she doesn't see this going very far. She referred to it, I mean, it could go either way. She could be either really overwhelmed and happy by the moment. She kept calling it like a fairy tale. Mm. I was like, okay, girl, are you rooted in reality? Because this is supposed to be like a lifelong commitment. So that made me a little worried.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent intuition there. Yeah, I was a little bit concerned about, like you were saying, what's her actual name? Giannina.
Gigi is accurate, yeah.
You got me saying the M'lady. Whole, like, Bionic Man sound effect. So it was kind of interesting there because, it was like a fairy tale for her, and she was more about, like, the actual physical act. She was kind of, like, counting the days, saying, look, I have this. I went to the beach to get my ass slapped. I was like, whoa, he's actually a person, too. Granted, you deserve it, the physical connection, but she seemed very, very, like, one-track mind on that there, too.
I mean...
What are you thinking?
If I'm the guy, I'm picking up on that real fast, though. And I'm excited.
But he didn't.
He really wasn't, which is a little bit strange and made it a little bit awkward because, you know, it's an awkward situation to start out with, mm-hmm. right? And it's also an awkward situation to talk to a complete stranger about, are we going to have sex now because we are engaged? I thought the way she kind of went about it was kind of flirty, kind of fun, and he could have really picked up on that and kind of given it right back. Instead, it became very awkward. He was like, wait, so are you, do you mean 435 days since you've, and she's like, mm-hmm. He's like, so that would be sex? And she's like, yes.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. Did you want dessert? And she's like, I am dessert. It's like, whoa. And then the next shot is him eating pudding. Like, come on, man. It's like an open door policy, you know, right here. She's trying to have fun with it.
I can't knock him though, man. Cause I can tell you, if I was in that situation, I'd be the same way. I'd be like, So what do you mean by this? Cause you don't know. Sometimes being forward is the best possible policy. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you're forward, you're not expecting it. You're like, what's the trap? Is there like another camera nearby?
I feel like I'd be way too excited. I'd be like, yeah,
I'm trying to be a counterpoint here.
Only thing I could think of why he may not have verbalized it as much, maybe there was a lot of chemistry we didn't see because this is an edit, is I'm like, is he trying to just be respectful because they're going to watch this back and he doesn't want to have her parents see, like, no. I can't wait to F this girl, man. Wow. Like, you know what I mean? Because
Christine went for it.
Some contestants are notoriously, like, very, you know, close-lipped about that kind of thing.
But to me, his actions are almost too far. She's basically going, like, I'm super interested. And he's like, I don't ever want to do anything that you do not want to do. And she's like, I want to do it. Like, you don't need the disclaimer. You know what I mean?
Shout
like,
out to inadvertent gentleman.
I feel really comfortable already. You don't have to tell me about making me comfortable. So that kind of stuff it irks me when people aren't, you know, communicating on the same page when it seems really obvious. But I guess you can't knock him for not being he's being respectful and all that kind of stuff. Probably a little bit too much. Everybody, you know, he's going to get flack for it, making fun of it. Like, come on, bro, like, go for it. But yeah, that's obviously what he was feeling in the moment, and they obviously got to the bed anyway, so yeah, it's fine.
I'm not super worried about them. I feel like they're going to work those kinks out. Same thing with Jessica and Mark. I feel like, I don't know, maybe they'll get there.
I think the show is building for a big disappointment when she sees Barnett. Mm. Right. And that's what they've been building at since they were in the pods, and she flip-flopped back and forth, and they're specifically saying how he is not what she normally goes for, but Barnett physically is what she goes for, and it's almost too perfect of a storyline for something to not happen.
We saw Jessica settle. I mean, Mark was gracious about it, but he could have been very, very bitter, but she did settle for her first, the second to first choice.
For sure, for sure.
So there's always going to be the other side of, what if?
Right, right.
Well, that remains to be seen how that works out, but I want to spend the last few minutes that we have left talking about the big reveal that we finally got.
That's right.
Between Carlton and Diamond.
Come on.
Carlton's been hiding this secret about his sexuality for some time now, and at the point that they're at, he could not go any further without being honest with his future wife. So, after some awkward vibes and some tension, they finally sit down, and he lets her know that he's dated men before.
Yep.
Before we get to that, I want to talk about that awkward vibes and tension.
Yeah.
Okay, you have this secret, and it's weighing on you, but that does not give you the right to talk to a jerk to your fiancé, being like, we won't do this, we won't do that. Like,
he was being a jerk.
Before they get to the pool or whatever, where they have the conversation in the hotel room, he was being really rude, kind of for no reason. And I guess, do we think that was the secret manifesting in a different way?
They called it nerves on the show, but I wasn't buying it.
Nerves on the show, or I also thought he was also trying to flirt in some kind of way.
It's like a teasy, kind of flirty thing.
But they're not on that level yet. You know, like, I could do that with my wife, and she'd be like, you're an idiot, and laugh or whatever. But they're strangers still, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't have that rapport established yet. And that's why immediately in the hotel room, they're kind of communicating on different channels, which does not help anything when they get to the pool.
Exactly. I think that it's a perfect setup. Because at this point, she's so, like, just worried about what's going to come next, because she can very easily tell that something is off, and he's being so mysterious about it.
Yeah, and this is just making it worse and worse. We said this, the fact that, like, he's kind of crying, and I've got something, and he doesn't want to say it, it's just making this thing, which we'll talk about it, but to me, isn't such a big deal.
Right.
He's making it way worse, because you got to think, if you're in that situation, that other person in their head, it's just getting what, like, did you kill somebody? Did you, like,
doing that. It's more like, myself, am I wrong? Am I not what you're looking for? Were you lying on me? What's going on with that? And my being in my past sounds like a whole other story, until it was like, oh yeah, I love hearts. Okay, great. Yep. Props to you, but I'll even give the fact that you didn't want to say in the pot, but you are there all day. Just let her know, and let her decide on her own.
Yeah, I mean, we saw from her reaction, her knee-jerk reaction, you know, her eyeballs kind of got really large, and you can tell that she was trying to stay present in that moment, but also, like, soak in everything he was saying, which I don't know what I would do if I was her. I'm not even going to pretend to think I would know.
And that's the problem, because he was sitting there debating it for so long. Now she's going to feel like, hey, is there someone else? Is there another person? Would you really?
Right.
Yeah, if you just said, hey, look, this has happened before, I'm doing this now, I'm committed to you, it wouldn't be an issue.
Because she continues along that line of questioning. So do you feel like you still need to date men?
Mm-hmm.
And the question there is, are you sure you're not gay? It was, to me, is that insinuation. Oh, do you feel like you've not experienced that enough to know truly who you are? And he's like, no, that's not it whatsoever. Well, it's the whole buildup, and not even just the buildup, but the way he said it, that's going to put that down in her mind. If it wasn't this buildup, right? And hey, everybody is their own person. This is how he felt and how it was manifesting. But I think that if it wasn't such a buildup, if it was just like, oh yeah, like I'm bisexual, like I've dated men in the past, is, you know, thing, then she probably would have, potentially have much better reaction. If sometimes for these things, if you don't make it a big deal, other people don't make it a big deal.
It was definitely a delicate subject. And I think I agree that he could have broached it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I think she asked all the right questions that someone would in her position, kind of taking it all in. And mm-hmm. we obviously know this is going to be a larger ongoing conversation, just like our after show.
Or not. Honestly, or not. Because I would not be surprised if they're setting us up for another not really big deal. Like, she comes back to the pool and she's like, hey, I accept you for what you are, and it's no big deal, and then we go on.
The only reason why I don't think that's the case is because of the teaser that they gave us at the end of episode one, where she was actually crying, unless that's a fake out as well.
Man, these people are going to be crying for the next producers. 6 weeks or whatever.
Yeah. That could just be one of many more tensions that they have to go through, but we'll get to that in our next recap. Until then, you guys can keep up with us on social media. You can find me, Christine Alexis, at Christine Bean on Twitter. Where can we find you guys?
You can find me at flobito.com. That's FLOBITO.com.
Guys, thank you so much for watching. Starting with our next episode, we're going to start rating these couples. Yes. So everybody be thinking and be putting down in your comments on a scale of 01 to 10, just like we do Married at First Sight. What do you think of our couples? Are they going to last? Are they going to get married? My name is Mike Thieling. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thieling.
Sweet. We'll see you guys next episode.
I've got something to tell you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.